Good morning. It's good to see you in church this morning. A couple of new faces too. That's great. So we started this month, and our theme for this month is seeing Jesus. And you know, when we become Christians, the main thing we see when we become a Christian is the reality of Christ. And the reality that we need Christ. And as Christians, that perspective should never change. It's not that we meet Christ and we give our lives to Christ and then we figure out how to be better Christians from that point on. Actually, we figure out how to get to know Jesus better. That's really what our Christian walk is all about. Is seeing Christ, knowing Christ. One of the fascinating things for me when people talk about, you know, oh, do you think Christianity is the, you guys think Christianity is the only way? I go, no, well, actually, God didn't reveal himself through any religion. He revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. The reality is for all of us who are in different denominations or in different versions of Christianity, the reality is none of us were the ones that came up with the path to God. It was just Jesus himself. And each of us are trying to find and understand what it is that, about Jesus that makes such a huge difference in the world. So, the title of my message this morning is Seeing Christ in the Least. And if you could turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read from pretty early on in that chapter. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says this, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or something to be clung to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." Now, it's interesting we translate that word servant, because the word is the same word for slave. We just don't like the word slave. We feel uncomfortable with the word slave. But it says, "Rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a slave, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." The emphasis there on death on a cross is because death on a cross was reserved for the worst of the worst of the worst. It was not considered polite in Roman company to even mention crucifixion. It was a big no-no, and no Roman citizen could be crucified. It was reserved for people who were to be dehumanized and discarded. So I want you to think for a moment. The all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, chose to become one of us, to become so weak, to be vulnerable, entering our human life and death. This is the incredible humility of God. And it is faith that allows us to see the face of God in Jesus Christ. God revealed himself through his son. There is faith involved in seeing God through looking at Jesus. Now, if you would, turn to John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Verse 35 reads, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. And it is faith that allows us to see that our communion is not just bread and juice, not just bread, but the recalling to mind and heart of the very real Jesus. Jesus at the Last Supper says, "Do this in remembrance of me. When you break this bread, it's my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Call to mind the real Jesus. The humility of the all-powerful God is seen in this as well. It's seen in this communion. Jesus becomes so small as to be held in our hands. In a sense, to be carried by us as we are to receive him with reverence. This tiny little piece of bread. And last Sunday with communion, this tiny little piece of bread that comes around, that we might remember Christ, that we might see Christ in this moment of communion through this very humble little ceremony tradition. Seeing Jesus in the bread of the communion, this is faith. But we are also to see Christ present in the weakness of the poor, the marginalized, the discarded within our communities. That also requires faith. To find and see Jesus in those who are poor and even in the people who are just difficult in our lives. The person who is unemployed and in the struggle drinks too much. Some might look at them and call them lazy and irresponsible and not deserving of our care. Well, they brought that on themselves. Are we able to see the face of Jesus? The person who's struggling with depression, some might look at them with no understanding and complain about their lack of effort. Are we able to see the face of Jesus? The person who commits murder, some might look and say they do not deserve to live, wanting capital punishment. Our church doesn't agree with capital punishment, in case you're wondering. Don't think it's the solution, and that even a person who commits murder remains a human being who is capable of redemption. Ooh. It's just what the Bible, what Jesus is all about, right? Some would want to reject them. Are we able to see the face of Jesus? You know, we have guys that go out to the prison, Caleb and Todd, a few others that we know from other churches as well. And they go and meet with people who are in prison. Do you know, I've done the same. Met with friends that I've had in prison or have gone to minister to people. The reality is, but for the grace of God, I'd be there too. Actually, there's probably quite a few people here, but for the grace of God. Oh man, my younger years, you know. Got away, yeah, man. And we look nice and prim and proper at church on Sundays. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, there was a time. (Clears throat) the person who is sick and dying from cancer. Some do not want to see this weakness and illness. Oh, well, praise God, brother. Platitudes, walk the other way. Are we able to see the face of Jesus in that suffering? The person who is a refugee from a country or a religion we're not comfortable with, some would want to reject them. Are we able to see the face of Jesus? You know, what's fascinating to me is that when we get saved, one of the things we do is we invite Jesus into our heart to live within us, and, you know, we make him Lord. Can I suggest that in the very creation of humanity is the image of God? We are created in his image, in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. Yes, we have fallen. Can I suggest one of the things we look at when we say, oh, we invite Jesus into our heart, is really we just invite him to sit on the throne. That Jesus is so deeply concerned and interested in our lives, he's never far away at all. What really challenges me when I think about we hold a piece of bread and we hold it reverently in our hands, a piece of bread, an inanimate object, as we think about Christ, and yet we meet someone who is made in the image of God and we treat them with disdain because they're not like us, or they're, you know, their sin seems to us to be much bigger than our own. Some of us are sitting in this service and we think we're pretty good people relatively to others. Can I suggest one of the challenges for us is that often when we look at other people, all we're doing is trying to find ourselves, trying to see ourselves. Oh, I want to be friends with that person. They're a lot more like me. We get on. We're looking for people that match us, that fit us. This person fits me, so I like this person. This person doesn't, so I don't. Can I suggest we're looking at people to see ourselves? I like you because you and I get along, or you and I do the same stuff together, or you like the same as you. I can get on with you. A church is full of people who shouldn't get along. That's the reality. Because God doesn't discriminate and go, I want the ones that are like me, because if he did, none of us would be here. I want the ones that are like me to be here. That's not what he wants. He wants everyone here. There should be very little in common between us except what? Christ. Yet what do? We look for, I want to go to a church where I feel my needs are met and that I have the kind of people that I want to hang out with and be with, and that's what I want in a church. I don't know that Jesus wants the same thing. It is possible for us, when looking at human beings in difficult places in life, to see them as things, as objects, as problems. They often lose their self-respect and we see them as less than human. Our faith calls us to find and see the face of Jesus. That's what it does. It calls us. It's our faith that says, when I look, I want to see Christ. When we stand before God, the only thing saving us is that God sees Christ in us. Surely we should be looking for him all the time. Whatever your job is, whatever the people you're working with, see Christ in those people and in that place. See Christ in the work that you are doing. I was talking to another pastor friend of mine, and him and his wife, they foster their niece on occasion for respite She has some pretty severe challenges, autism, a few other things, and they foster her for a while. They give some respite. And he was talking to me. He said, you know, my wife and I were talking about our care for this child and how, you know, about 60%, we can get to about 60% just because we're Christians and we're nice people and we care about others. He said, and then about, we can get to kind of 80% caring for her because she's blood and she's family. But we just, there's about 20% and we're just, we've lost all of our resources and we've got nothing left. So we have to see Jesus to get us the last little bit. And so when we look, often I have really been puzzled sometimes when churches, you know, launch something, they feel God's told them to do a thing, and they go and do it, and it goes great for like 6 months, 12 months or whatever, and then it just dies. It's become a burden and a chore, and nobody wants to do it, and it's just over, and blah, 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 and everyone's like, you know, people should be more committed and get, and we drive people to do more stuff. I think partly it's because we just stop seeing Jesus in it. We stop looking for him in the work that we're doing. We start to fall back on our own personal capabilities, and we wonder why we can only get to about 60% effort. You ought to see Jesus. For me personally, that idea explains a lot about why for the last 10 years I've remained pretty committed to doing what we're doing, is because every day I see Jesus in it. I see Jesus in the people that we care for. I see Jesus in the lives that are at this point don't seem very significant. And so I pick them up reverently and I say, this is helps me remember Christ, just like communion. And so I have an opportunity to experience communion with God amongst people who are struggling. What makes the communion bread any different from our toast in the morning? It's just bread. But it calls to mind the reality of Christ. So I'm not trying to say, you know, the people with their challenges that I'm looking at are not somehow suddenly perfect, but I'm seeing Christ in this person. I'm seeing Christ in the intervention into this life that God wants to make. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to turn there with me. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Some of you will be familiar with this story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, in reply Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And we go, oh, what a lovely guy. Now the listeners to that story, the Jewish audience who are listening to that story, were looking for a Jewish hero to appear. They were wanting him to appear like them, pious, religious, visibly righteous, and yet Jesus turned their world upside down with this particular story, showing them a hero who was an enemy, someone despised, a stereotype, a smelly, awful Samaritan. Think Think of Jesus on the cross, covered with blood and spittle and sweat, executed as a criminal, dehumanized, naked, hanging on a cross. How difficult to see and recognize this Christ and this Jesus. As we see the real presence of Jesus in the bread of the communion, we are to see the real presence of Jesus in the appearance of human misery. How surprising where we find and see the Christ. In bread, in the poor, and in the unlikable. I wish I could have prepared a bit better earlier, but I would have shown you this picture, which we don't have, unfortunately. And it's the image of the homeless Christ. Well, Christ the homeless. And what it is, it's a sculpture with a park bench with somebody lying on it covered in a blanket head to toe. And it just looks like, it looks so real, like it's a homeless person that people call the, like the council to get them to move that person on. But if you walk up and look closer, the feet have nail holes in them. And it's designed to provoke people into realizing like where, it's a pretty powerful sculpture. I think it's now in 155 cities, this particular sculpture, the guy that did it. Where do we fail to recognize Jesus in the people around us? I'm sorry if you think that I'm really good at this. I'm not. I'm terrible at it. Often I look at people and my first thought is, ugh, not that person. And they go, no, George is my friend. There's another story. A Catholic bishop in Brazil told a story of a sister coming a long way from an isolated hospital. She came by foot to the bishop to tell him that they had no chaplain and that she hadn't had the joy of receiving Christ in communion for a long time. So first the bishop gave her communion and then he reminded her. He said, "Dear sister, you spend your days with the living Christ. You are there with the sick. And there is Christ. You handle Christ with your own hands. This is another communion, the living presence of Christ." Now, your work, the things that you do, the people that you interact with. You know, the Bible asks us to do everything as if unto the Lord. Wherever you are, the people you interact with, the faith requirement for you is to see Christ there. And you think, oh, it's just a secular job. Oh, I just drive a truck. Oh, I just work at Waddy's. I just do. No, it's a place where you can see Christ and see him at work. Where you can recognize in the needs of others the face of Christ. When you can think nobody is unimportant. Nobody is meaningless. Nobody is just little and obscure and is just another piece of bread. But a place. A space where we can see Christ. I think sometimes of the spouse whose elderly partner is sick and unable to leave their home, unable to get to church because they need to stay and care for them, and there's no one to relieve them. Are they really missing communion with Jesus, the bread of life? You know, we have even in our church, you know, there might be people who aren't here on Sunday and we're like, oh, where's their commitment? Surely they should be here. Sunday's the most important day. I'd argue that maybe Sunday isn't the most important day. I'd also suggest that perhaps people aren't at church because there's something that God is wanting them to do. Jesus, the bread of life. We need faith to see him in the bread that we hold and break for communion. But we also need that same faith to see the face of Christ in the poor, in the sick, in the homeless, in the drug addict, in the survivor of trauma, the perpetrator of trauma, the angry person, the unsociable person, the unkind person, the difficult people in our life. Can we see the face of Christ? And I would argue the only way to see him, well, actually, to begin seeing, you have to look for him. Sometimes we need to change what we're looking for. We're looking for, if they only did what I did, they'd be fine. If I was in that situation, I would have made this different decision and then they wouldn't be in this trouble. Good for you, buddy. Stop looking for yourself and comparing people to yourself because you're wrong. Do you know why? Because you've probably got a pretty lacking perspective of yourself. Part of why we need Christ. Oh, well, you know, if they made the right decisions that I've made, I've made a ton of wrong decisions. I just had the grace of God to help me. We need faith to see the face of Christ. And today you can start by looking for him in other people. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Lord, I pray as it has brought challenge to me and how I deal and interact with all those around me in the work that I do. Lord, I pray that you would bring that same clarity to each one of us, that we might see Christ clearly. Lord, more than we see ourselves, more than we see our needs and our wants and our desires, Lord, let us see Christ. Give us faith to see him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.